Psalm 106, right at the top of the chapter, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Who can utter the mighty acts of the Lord? Who can show forth all his praise? Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. Remember me, O Lord, with thy favor that thou bearest unto thy people. O visit me with thy salvation, that I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the goodness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance." Now, verse number 3 is the verse that I want you to look at with me for a few minutes here. Blessed are they that keep judgment, and he that doth righteousness at all times. Now, this chapter is a big, long chapter. All 48 verses of it. In fact, if you start in verse 6 and continue to the end of the chapter, there's a bit of a rehearsal of the history of Israel. Just talking about their ups and downs. Times when they did well, times when they did not do well. Times when they had great leaders, times when they had bad leaders. And by the way, good leaders in good times, bad leaders in bad times, it kind of goes together. Now, verse number 3 is a pivotal point in all of this. And verse 1 and 2, rejoicing in the Lord. Verse number 3 is like a statement of faith or a vow. Verses 4 and 5 are a prayer. And then you have verse 6 and following, the rehearsal of the history. Now, when it says, "Blessed are they that keep judgment," the word "judgment" there is not talking about the judgment seat of Christ. It's not talking about the great white throne judgment. It's not talking about God visiting in judgment on some thing. That it's not talking about God's judgment at all. Notice what it says. Blessed are they that keep judgment. So the word "judgment" here is used in the sense, like if I were to say to you, what's your judgment about the weather? What the weather is going to be in the next week? What am I asking for? I'm asking for your opinion. I'm asking how you assess it. What is your point of view on this? What is your judgment about thus and so? I've got $1 million I want to invest. What's your judgment? What's your judgment about what I should do? Should I put it in gold, put it in silver, or just pass it out to everybody? What do you think I should do? Now, blessed are they that keep judgment. What's he talking about? He's talking about their values, their principles. And the second part of the verse says, and he that doeth righteousness at all times. So the first part of it is about their principles. The second part is about their practices. And what I'm looking at here is that first part of the statement's talking about right principles. And if we get our principles right, then our practices will be upright. Blessed are they that keep judgment. They keep it. They hear about it, they learn it, and they keep it. And then does righteously at all times. So we got principles and practices. Get the principles right, the practices will be upright. Young mother took her 5-year-old to school, kindergarten, I guess. And she said to the teacher, she said, "My Johnny's a very sensitive child." She said, "If he ever does anything wrong, you just slap the kid next to him and he'll shape right up." Another young boy, I think he was about a third grader. Anyway, the family moved and he changed schools. And he went to school the first day, came back home, and his mom said, "Johnny, how do you like the new school?" He said, "I don't like it at all." And she said, "Well, what's the problem with the school?" He said, "It's the principle of the thing." Now, When it comes to being a Christian, when it comes to serving God, when it comes to ministry, when it comes to who we are and what we're about, the principle of the thing, and that's spelled a little different, obviously. The principles on which we operate make a world of difference. Now, what I'm looking at in this verse, I simply call it a twin formula for blessing. You've got principles and practices. And if we get our principles right, our practices will come along. Interestingly enough, some people never get their principles in place. And that explains why their practices are so awful. The lying people that you see in front of the cameras on TV. There's lie, 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 lie. What's their problem? Their principles are the problem. People that robs the bank. What's the matter with that guy? It's his principles. It's the problem. The drive-by shooting. What's the problem? It's the principles. That's the problem. Killing little unborn babies. What's the problem? It's the principles. People drinking alcohol like it was good stuff. What's the problem? It's the principle. Their principles are a problem. So some people never get their principles in place, and as a result, well, we know what the practices are. Now, here's another little twist to this. There are people who practice the right things, but they have no clue as to the principle. They're doing the right things. But if you were to ask them, well, why don't you drink alcohol, or why don't you rob banks, or why, they wouldn't be able to explain it to you. Because they're just doing what their daddy said do. I think I've probably told you before, my daddy, who's in heaven now, almost 10 years, but daddy drilled into us, no smoking, no drinking, no motorcycles. Now you say, what was the deal? Well, smoking self-explanatory, liquor self-explanatory, and the motorcycles, he's afraid we'd get hurt, so he ran them all together. I mean, I can hear him saying it now. No smoking, no drinking, no motorcycles. We all got grown. He went out and bought him a Harley. He did. Now, you say, Dr. Smith, do you ride motorcycles? You couldn't get me on a motorcycle. You say why? You're a grown man. You could ride a motorcycle. I probably could, but I would probably fall and kill myself before I got out of the driveway. Why? Because I can hear daddy saying, no motorcycle. You say, the only reason I don't ride up is because of my daddy. I mean, I blame it on him. It's not in my value system. So you see, a lot of people do what they do or what they don't do, and they're just doing it because, well, my daddy said don't do it, or pastor said that I shouldn't do this. So this person I'm talking about now, they're doing the right things, but they don't have it down in here. They're only listening. And thank God they've got some mentors. We all, at some point in time, need to just listen to mom and dad or listen to the pastor, because we hadn't got it figured out, but they do. And so, you know, at a certain point, thank God we're just following and listening. But there should come a point in time where we learn the principles. So if pastor's off on vacation, we can still do right. Or if, as in my case, my mom and dad are dead now, I can still do right, even though I can't ring them up on the phone and say, hey, what's the deal about this? I used to do that a lot. I don't do it now. I can't. So if I get my principles right, then my practices can be developed. And by the way, principles have to be taught. In my family and in your family, I'm going to tell you something, and this will shock you. But when your babies are born and my babies are born, they're as dumb as a box of rocks. They don't know anything. They don't know how to count. They don't know how to sing Jesus Loves Me. They don't know they're in the Smith family or the Jones family or the Gordons or whoever. They don't know that. They have to be taught. And that's the same reason you have to teach them not to lie, not to steal, not to kill. We have to get the principles down, and then their practices can be developed. You remember Psalm 11 says, if the foundations be destroyed. Well, foundations are big time important. Now, you remember in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus concluded that great Sermon on the Mount with two parables. One was about a guy who built his house on sand, and the other guy built his house on rock. Now, I call them Sandy and Rocky. Sandy made a big mistake. He didn't get his foundations in. Rocky got his foundations in, so when the storms came, Sandy was in trouble, but Rocky survived it. And my question is, where are we in all this? Are we still building on sand, or are we building on the rock? Now, most of you are in Sunday school, so I assume you're probably building or starting to build on the rock. And I commend you for that. You say, all right, you're talking about principles. I'll tell you this, and it just fits into the picture a little bit. I have a book in progress that, Lord willing, sometime in 2019, I'll have it finished. But I've gone through the New Testament looking for Bible principles. Like, for example, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Well, I call that the Jesus first principle. I've named them. I've taken the verse and I've named them. Just laying them out in simple everyday terms so that we can all get hold of them. Now, you say, well, yeah, you're talking about principles. What kind of things you got in mind? I'm glad you asked, because I wanted to tell you. Just so you can get the feel of what I'm talking about here. For example, in Matthew chapter 7 in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you even so to them. We call that the golden rule. Well, it's a Bible principle. If I don't want you to say hit me in the nose, I shouldn't hit you in the nose. And other such things. Go by the water fountain. I should not splash water on you if I don't want you to splash water on me. Etc. Now, very simple practice. You say, where does it plug in? It plugs in everywhere you go. Betty and I mean, she and I have talked through some of this stuff so many, many times, just firming up how we feel about things and how we want to do things. And if you trailed around, and Lord willing, I'm scheduled to be in town all this next week. If you trailed around in our city, trail around after us, I could take you into place after place after place after place where that the minute we walk in, everything turns in our direction. And you know why it's that way? It's because we've gone in and we've been friendly. I stand in line at the bank or some of those places, and it's all business. Person standing there getting waited on, it's all business. The person doing the waiting is all business. But we walk up to the counter, and before I hand my deposit slip, I'll say, well, good morning. How are you? How's everybody at the bank? Hey, Sandy, how are you? Laura, how are you? And you know what happens when I walk in that bank? Often before I even get to the counter, there are three or four of them call out to me and call me by name and say hello. And they're not doing that for everybody. Now, I'm not bragging on me. I'm just simply saying that if we like to be treated a certain way, and it works at church as well. If we walk in here and we don't speak to anybody, a lot of the folks may get the idea you don't want to be spoken to. So if I want somebody to be friendly to me, I got to be friendly back. It's a basic Bible principle called the golden rule. Here's another one. It's likened to it. Ephesians chapter 4 says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Be ye kind. That'll be taught back here in the kindergarten class. If not today, sometime this year. That'll be taught, I guarantee you. And here we are at 29 years of age again, 39. And we forget that what we taught our children is to be practiced by us. You say, well, where do you start that be ye kind stuff? Well, I'd suggest the breakfast table or even before. You know, there's nobody at my house anymore. I mean, the grandkids come over sometimes, spend the night. But basically, it's Betty and me. So where does that be a kind thing start? It kicks in with us. Just being kind to each other. Tenderhearted. That means, feeling what they feel. Feeling that compassion for them. It's a Bible principle. Here's another one. In Colossians 3, the Bible says, whatsoever you do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Do it heartily. Whatsoever you do it heartily. We walked in here a little while ago. I came down this side. By the time I got here, Pastor was already singing with you and the kids. As I walked across here, every little head looked up, looked at me. They were singing. Pastor was leading. They were singing. I was making eye contact with them. And you could just see it. I mean, they were lit up. Now, you know, we could walk and sing, oh, Jesus loves me. I mean, we could drag through that. But you just had an example of doing it heartily as unto the Lord. You know, working these zones. You know, I drove through Clay City a while ago. Somebody's got Clay City as your zone. And just saying, man, I'm going to go over there and tackle Clay City. Do it heartily. Hey, but it's cold outside. Yeah, I know. Get a good coat. Wrap up. You know, get you a muffler. Get you a nice hat. Warm hat. Do it heartily. Going to play the piano. Going to get up here and preach, teach Sunday school. Do it heartily. Put your heart into it. That's what it's a Bible principle. You know, you want your marriage to be great after 25 years, 35 years, 45 years, or as with me and Betty, 809 years. Can't believe I've been married to that girl. Another 2 weeks will be 57 years. I was only 3 when she married me, but anyway. Lord, forgive me. But you want your marriage to be something tremendous, then what do? You put your heart into it. And you don't quit after 29 years. You continue to do that. Here's another Bible principle. James chapter 4. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Now, we read the Ten Commandments, and we know the thou shalt nots. Don't lie, don't steal, don't covet, don't adulterate. I mean, we know those are in there. So we know where to not do some things. But what about the things we know to do that we don't do? Well, the Bible says if you know to do good and you don't do it, that also is sin. It's just a plain Bible principle. I know to come to church. The Bible tells me, places like Hebrews chapter 10, tells me not to forsake the assembling of myself together. So, what do we do when Sunday comes? Come to church. Well, church will begin Sunday night. Hey, I didn't get enough. I'll come back and get some more. Well, what about the middle of the week? I get back home and Wednesday night, say, what are your plans for Wednesday night? I bet you're going to watch a basketball game. I don't even know whether they have basketball on Wednesday night or not. If I'm sick, then I might have a reason to not go if I'm sick. But at the same time, you know, Wednesday night, I just don't watch basketball or baseball or whatever. See, what are you doing? I'm going to go over and find myself a pew, get in it, and listen to whatever Pastor Sumner has to say. And just be there. Why do you do that? Because I know to do it. And I know it's good to do it. And by the way, I get to be up here in front of the microphone a lot. I was like this week, today, a week ago, I was with one of your boys, Jim Townsley, in Connecticut. In fact, he'll be here Tuesday. Told me he's coming in to see his folks. And I flew from his place down to South Jersey and preached Monday and Tuesday. So I get a lot of time where I'm up talking. But when I'm at home, I sit in the pew. I go to Sunday school. I sit in the auditorium Bible class, just like you're doing. And you say, what do you do? I open my Bible. I dig in. I get stuff out of it. And when I walk out the door, in fact, sometimes, maybe the pastor will get called up here or something, and he doesn't get to the door by the time I do. I'll walk around this way. And by the way, he works at the Sword. So he's one of my employees, but he's also my pastor. But I walk around by him and I say, Brother Sumner, man, Sunday school lesson was great. Your message was tremendous. And the reason I tell him that is because it is. And I'm telling him, it feeds me. It does me good. Now, you say, maybe another one or two here. Here's another Bible principle, like in Philippians 4. It says, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So I got to get my thinker working on what's true and honest and just and pure and lovely and of good report and virtuous and praiseworthy. Got to get my mind on that. See, if I get my mind on that, my principles form out of that. I'm, you know, if something comes up, I say, okay, what's the honest thing to do? There is a difference between honest and dishonest. Or what's the pure thing to do? What's the just thing? What's the true thing about this? Somebody comes to you with some juicy bit of gossip. You say, well, if it's true, it's not gossip. Okay, somebody comes to you with some juicy news. Your first question ought to be, wait a minute, is that true or not? Well, I saw it on TV or I read it on the internet. Oh, yeah, that makes it so. You know, you just got to be careful you get stuff right. Now, he says, if it's true and honest and just and pure and loving and of good report, virtuous and praiseworthy, then get your mind focused on that, because if your mind's on that, guess what your body's going to do? Your body's going to go where your mind is every time. And, you know, passages like Matthew 4:19, where Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men, another Bible principle. I follow the Savior, guess what I do? You know, every once in a while, I put a coat on, and I'll tell you, when I reach in the closet and get a jacket that I haven't had on in a while, I invariably feel in my pocket to see if I've got gospel tracts. I don't really feel dressed fully if I'm not armed. And you say, why? Because I bump into people all of the time. All of the time. And again, you back up to be kind. Be warm with people. You're setting the stage all of the time for getting the privilege to witness to somebody. And if you witness to somebody and to somebody and to somebody and to somebody, guess what? Eventually you could lead somebody to Christ. Not everybody you talk to, but if you stay at it, some of the folks you witness to. And Jesus said, follow me, follow me, follow me. What's going to happen if I follow him? Well, he said, I'll make you a fisher of men. It's Bible principle. Now, this passage says the blessing comes to those who keep judgment. They get their values right, they get their principles in place, and they keep them. Let me see if I get this right. I got it. I saw it, I reached, I got it. Okay, that was Sunday. Here I am Monday. You still got it? Yep, I still got it. Here it is Tuesday. You still got it? I still got it. Wednesday? I still got it. What am I doing? I got it. I'm keeping it. And what he says is, get your principles in place and keep them. You say, well, pastor was away on vacation. My mother and dad were out of town. My Uncle Joe, that I looked to for counsel and kind of as a mentor, he was off, gone to Indianapolis or someplace, and I couldn't ask him. But you had a principle that you knew, and you just plugged it in. The very last course that I took in college, I had enrolled in a couple of years before and didn't like it. It didn't like me. And I dropped out, not realizing that it was a required course for graduation. And I got down to within 10 days of walking and graduating with my bachelor's degree, and they called me to the dean's office and they said, you didn't take that little 2-hour math course that's required for your minor in secondary education. And I said, so? I had more than enough hours in the minor to certify the minor, but I didn't have that 2-hour math course. They said, well, we're going to let you go ahead and walk, but you're going to get an empty binder with no degree in it until you go to summer school and take the 2-hour math course. So I took the 2-hour math course at another college and transferred it in. But I had to have a tutor. two days in that class, I didn't even need a pencil. Some of the craziest stuff I ever saw. And I tell you the part of it I'll never forget. This math teacher, he was kind of a quirky kind of a guy. He would stand up here at his board, and he'd lay out the formula, and he'd say, now, here's the rule. And he'd show us how it works, and then he'd put up another unsolved problem, and he said, all right, now, you what I want you to do, I've given you a new problem. He said, you plug in the rule and grind the crank. I heard that almost every day all summer long. It aggravated me. Plug in the rule and grind the crank, he said. But you know, with the help of my tutor, every time we plugged in the rule and carried it through, guess what? We got the answer. Now, you and I may struggle sometimes, and we say, I don't like what God said about that. But I guarantee you, if you'll plug in God's rules, I mean, just get them set. And then when Wednesday afternoon comes, and Thursday morning, and Saturday night, and Sunday morning, I mean, in January, April, September, November, I promise you, get the principle plugged in. Just live it and live it and live it and keep it and keep it and keep it. And do what you know to do. Notice the verse says, at all times, it's going to come out. You're going to like the result of plugging in God's rules about marriage, about raising your children, about handling your business, about building your church, your whole Christian life. You're going to like the result of following God's principles. So the passage says, blessed are they, that's us, that keep judgment. We get hold of it, we just hang on. And he that doeth righteousness at all times. The right principles will help us to develop upright practices. Let's pray together. Our Father, we're thankful. Thankful that you've given us so much in this blessed book. And Lord, we thank you for enabling us, helping us. I pray today for families. Maybe some people in front of me this morning that have only been married a few months or a year or two. and they're still in a formulative stage about what they're doing with their life, their marriage. Some of them with small children, trying to figure things out. And Lord, I pray that you'll help them to not turn aside from what you've given, but just follow it and follow it and follow it. And some of us who've been around for a while and we've made it work. And Lord, I pray you'll help us not to forget it and to not let up and ease up just because we got a few miles on us. May the sweet Spirit of God work with us all the day today. Bless Brother Ross, the folks here at Blessed Hope, and give us, I pray, a good, sweet, blessed day together. In Jesus' precious name, amen.